Good afternoon. Welcome to Yachting International Radio's Yachting USA podcast. I'm your host, Rick Thomas, and this afternoon I am up in St. Augustine with two dear friends, Tim Kings and Doug Hoogs. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me
there
today.
You go,
what
Rick.
A pleasure it is to see you guys again.
Yeah.
Now, full disclosure, Doug, Tim, and I go back over 30 years in this industry. So we have a long history together, and that's what's going to make this conversation kind of fun. And when I talk about the wonderful world of yachting, one of the things I like to point out is this is a yachting industry of relationships. And I absolutely carry that forward, that the relationships you build, if they're done right and if you conduct your business right, boy, they last a lifetime. And this is a good example of this. We have watched each other's careers evolve, change, move courses, so many different interesting projects. Tim, you and I were in Tampa back in the late 80s, early, like 1990?
1991.
Building a sailing yacht for Mr. Dingman.
For Mr. Ding. Was a Ted Hood design with an Andrew Winch and Evan Marshall interior. Sure did.
Evan Marshall was just a baby back then, too.
He was just a baby back then, and he was the guy that his hands drew that boat. You know, Ted Hood did the lines plan and the engineering. Ted Fontaine was part of that drawing. He was working for Hood at the time, and you were producing some very special davits for us for that boat that Mr. Dingman wanted.
Yeah, Nautical Structures did that.
It sure did.
And the shipyard was?
Was Winship Yachts.
Wasn't Kiwi. That was after Kiwi. This is Winships.
No, yeah, that's way after Kiwi. Kiwi, for me, was 77, 78, 79. We were building composite racing sailboats for SRC Circuit and some private yachts that went out to Hong Kong.
Sources races.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Doug, you and I met back then about then, too. You were also in Tampa.
Yeah, Tim had brought me in to work on that same project.
Did you ever forgive him for that?
I still follow him today.
Yeah. It's amazing. I love it. No, I remember going on sea trial on Teal.
Yes.
And out in Tampa Bay.
I was actually in the tender that day taking those photographs of you guys on the boat.
I think I was in the tender in one of those photographs, too, if I recall.
You were in the tender when we were lifting it up on the transom, and Doug was skippering the boat.
Imagine
for the very first
that.
Sail. And I had it all on film, and Mr. Dingman was loving it. You know, we filmed every bit of the construction of it, every bit of it.
Yeah. No, those are halcyon days. That was a great time. And, you know, back then I tell people I didn't know what I didn't know. I was ignorant of the industry. I'm going to throw one out here right now. You guys at YPY, y'all suck. No, really, I love you guys because we didn't have YPY back then. Young Professionals in Yachting, what a great organization. We'll be talking to you guys in the near future. But, you know, that's what we didn't have then. Nobody was there to show us the way to help us connect the dots of the industry. We were kind of figuring it out and making it as we're
learning it as we go.
Absolutely. Yeah. But here we are today. And, you know, I wanted to touch on your careers before we talk about what you guys are doing today, because you guys got something pretty exciting happening. But we're gonna push that off for a little bit. We want to talk about what happened since we started in Tampa together. Doug, you've been a captain. You've written a couple books with another friend of mine, Buddy Hack. Great reads, by the way. Tim, I've been involved in builds with you at shipyard after shipyard.
That is true, even out to Asia.
Yeah, I know. And we're going to talk about what's happened to the industry and some of the shipyards. But real quick, Doug, first, you're captaining career then brought you to the beach. Give us a little background, insight of what brought you where we are today.
I think ever since I was a child, I was on the water, so I couldn't imagine doing any other career but getting into yachting as soon as I could.
Yeah.
So I went to the Merchant Marine Academy, particularly so I could get a license and work on yachts. And the last 50 years of doing that has been nothing but pure joy for me.
How about that?
Yeah.
Wow. And you've gone from captaining yachts to brokering yachts and then being involved in new build projects and refit projects.
Right. The whole idea of yachting, you name the topic, if you're not enjoying this business, there's not many other career choices you're going to find that bring so much back to you.
I tell people all the time this in this business, Don Henley, I think, wrote the lyrics. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's so applicable. You can check out anytime you'd like
But you can never leave. Yeah. Or was that the mob?
No. If you're really invested in this industry, I think I find that to be a truism. That's cool. And Tim, let me think about this. And, you know, after Teal, I know I worked with you at
Christensen, Delta, at Trinity, Ocean Alexander in Taiwan.
Yeah.
Newcastle.
Yes. Don't forget Newcastle.
Newcastle.
The Harbor Island. And
that's right.
IAG. You built a couple of boats in China.
Yes, we did, in fact.
Which was interesting. Were either of you guys at all involved at Lazera or no? That was just
across
the way.
On hull number 6 of the Lazera 76.
Yes.
I brought that client to the yard as an owner's agent. And Evan Marshall was brought in as well for design. And Dick and Evan and I enjoyed that experience together. I'm sure that Dick would agree.
We're going to talk to Dick in the near future, and that'll be fun.
And Mel Zahn, the owner from Chicago, had a great experience.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
You know, and we're going to talk about that, not in just this podcast, in the future. And I bring it up all the time, and I think it needs to be. I say there's a sacred triad in this industry that reflects the health of the industry. Number one on that sacred triad is the owner.
Yeah.
The owner's experience is so essentially important. And as soon as we lose sight of that owner's experience, we're in trouble. That makes for a sick industry if we don't have the owners fully on board and enthusiastic about being part of our industry. The other two are crew. That's its whole podcast, many times over probably. And then we're going to touch on this now, the third sacred leg of the triad is shipyards. When we started in this business, when I met you guys, I counted 44, and I know I'm missing some. So north of 40 crew-served yacht builders building boats that were requiring some level of crew or larger, 80 plus. I think there was 34 or 35 building over 100 foot in North America. What do we have left right now? Four? Five?
Yeah.
Three? It depends on how you look at it. It's tragic in so many ways. And Tim, you and I, when you look at the yards we worked in, Delta's still here.
Delta's still here and still hanging in there.
They actually have some good projects going on right now, I come to understand.
Yes.
And Westport's still in the game, and there's good things happening at Westport. But Christensen is gone. Crescent Beach Boat Works. Now Tim Charles has got Crescent Custom Yachts, and we'll be talking about that in the future. So there's some potential viability there.
Trinity's gone.
Lazera's gone.
The
director's not building
Windship's
yachts.
Gone.
Windship's, Palmer Johnson's gone.
It's scattered. Now, a lot of the people that worked in those yards have moved around.
Of course.
People that we've known over the years.
And you haven't even mentioned, prior to us getting together, was the Kiwi Racing, which was a predominantly American SORC class of boats.
It was with a big variety of yacht designers that we worked with there. We worked with Ron Holland, Herman Freyers,
Tony
Peterson, Tony Castro.
These are legends in our industry.
Yeah.
And think about it. These guys were in Florida. When I grew up and joined the yachting industry and became part of the community, we had Ted Irwin building the Irwin product. We had
Charlie Morgan
building the Morgans. We had Vince Lazera building the Gulf Star Sailmasters. We had, I think he was also building a series of charter yachts for
Out Island.
Hunter, we were just talking to John Lures earlier, and the Hunter product line. I'm missing some. I know Kiwi boats. The sailing industry that was in the Tampa Bay area in
Endeavor
general.
Yachts.
Endeavor,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Spectacular. And it's gone.
Tragically, it's gone.
It just, those brands didn't endure, and the sailing industry itself has suffered and evolved and changed a little bit. Now there's some amazing, magnificent sailing yachts being built. I have had the privilege to be in Vollenhoven several times, seeing some of the incredible boats that Royal Heisman's built, and working with Rondell and seeing what they're doing with their rigging systems. Just amazing. I'd be back to Vollenhoven in a moment if I could. And I have in Perini Navi, I've done work with them, and I remember working with Bob Director when he was building some of his sailing yachts, racing yachts.
Yes.
In fact, my company, Bob Bleen, and I were cutting metal, working with John Weston Production Supply, supplying metal to Bob Director so he could build these boats. Cool times. Really interesting how these dots get connected and how this industry had this vibrant culture that was working and working interactively, which,
yes,
you know, I miss that. Honestly, I do miss that a lot.
That's pretty much what Doug and I are trying to do. Doug went off to Italy and build yachts. I went off to China and Taiwan after and during those years. And now we're trying to bring it back to North America with what we're doing with Yucatan Yacht and Ships. We are trying to bring it.
And that's exactly what I wanted to kind of segue into, because when we were leading into this and talking about, would you guys want to sit in on this podcast and have a conversation, and you were gracious enough to say yes, and I thank you. One of my vexations is that, you know, we're sitting here looking at the loss of our yacht building industry and just a few viable companies left. And there's a lot of reasons for it. Some of them are economic. Some of them are cultural. Some of it is just that, you know, we didn't fill the need that was there at the time, and the buyer went elsewhere, and it's hard to get them back once they leave. But you guys have got an interesting vision. I saw some video and some photos, and you found a facility in Mexico in the Yucatan, actually not that far from Tampa, right across the little Gulf of Mexico there. Easy to get to. And the travel lift you have there looks fantabulous. I mean, you know, particularly if you got a sailing or power catamaran, you want to find a good place to haul your wide beam cat out of the water.
Yeah.
A sunreef.
Yeah.
A great facility for that. But you're looking at it beyond just the idea of shaving a haircut, bring your boat in, do a bottom job, get you in, get you out. You're really looking at the potential, correct me if I'm wrong, of building boats again.
Building boats.
What I'm imagining in the very near future, as we build these yachts, the buyers definitely want to know how they're tied to the service and the warranty as well. So if we're a viable service yard on its own legs, and we're also able to build great motor yachts, for sail yachts, up to about 160 feet in length, let's say.
50 meters, just 49 meters.
49 meters.
We have the facilities for it. We have the brain trust for it. And we have a strong contingency of skilled personnel from around the world that are involved, including great designers and engineers. And we have a standing labor force in Mexico that is as deep as we require.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And that is some of the magic there. And there's no mystery that one of the reasons the U.S. yachting industry has lost some of its strength and has seen so much of our boat building go overseas is it's expensive to build over here in the United States. Between, you know, the cost of labor and the regulations, all of that, your labor's obviously a lot less in Mexico, yet it's a qualified labor force, and skilled labor, managed by, you know, seasoned yachting project managers, veterans, people such as you, Tim, that have built everything you can imagine.
In a very unskilled labor, like out in China.
I think I'd like to add at that point, during our earlier years working in China in particular, we understood that the vendors that we chose for our U.S. buyers were predominantly U.S. vendor support, some European products as well. And we relied upon those vendors to bring the information to the workforce on how to execute the installations. So that's the key.
Right.
If you have skilled people, but they don't have a long history with that product, we need that support from the vendors. And we've learned that the Americans are all about that.
Yes.
So that's why this works.
We're excited to see this work and really looking forward to the next steps you guys bring forward as you improve the facility and create something that's real. At what point in time are you guys going to say open for business, at least in bringing in boats for service and supporting the industry at some level?
We're starting right now. We've made 5 or 6 trips there, setting up the operation, checking with the infrastructure that's there and the labor force that's there. It's all waiting for us to bring in a scratch-and-shoot paint job or a refit work.
We're actively bidding projects.
We are actively bidding right now on new jobs. So we're ready to kick it off.
So everybody listening to this podcast is hearing potentially for the first time Yucatan Yacht and Ship basically saying, hey, come talk. We're open for business.
The infrastructure is there. The labor pool is there.
And again, this is, I think, so important because with as many projects that we see going overseas, including the refit work that tends to go to Italy or Netherlands or England, I'm a big advocate of trying to keep some of that work in North America the best we can.
Absolutely.
And by doing the work in the Yucatan, we are in North America. We're part of NAFTA. We're part of the whole organization. And just as we're going to support and endorse our friends to the north in Canada, same thing. What we can do here on this continent with our resources, I think, is really important. And I think it's an important leg of the Sacred Triad, of bringing shipyards to a healthy place where the industry is supported by local shipyards and isn't forced to go across the pond, whether you're going east or west, to get work done.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And it's such a short, it's an hour and a half flight out of South Florida, 480 miles from Miami there.
And I understand that there's some beautiful cenotes to do some cave diving, and there's some beautiful Caribbean ocean diving to do there.
We're making arrangements right now to get you over there. Chamber of Commerce is talking to us.
Okay, it's beautiful. All right. I got my DPV serviced. I got my gear ready to go. And, you know, that's right. I'm going over for yachts too, right?
That's right. That's right.
No, this is good stuff. I am so excited. Mm-hmm. You know, I've known you guys forever. Mm-hmm. You know, I love you dearly, and I wish you only the success that you deserve, and you deserve a lot of success.
Thank you, Rick.
We appreciate the passion that you bring to the table. Yeah. We're passionate about what we're doing, and we appreciate what you're doing to bring it to light, because yachting is all about enjoying the sea.
You mean it's not a sterile corporate environment?
Yeah.
No, that's what I love about it, too. Yeah. This is good stuff. And, you know, if you love what you do and you're open about that, you can expect success. So, again, guys, all the best. Thank you for joining me. This is Rick Thomas, your host of Yachting International Radio's Yachting USA podcast, coming to you today from St. Augustine, Florida. I thank you for joining the podcast. I look forward to having you guys join us on future podcasts. If you like what you hear, make sure you let us know. Hit like on your social media accounts, wherever you're listening to us, whether it's on Spotify or YouTube, and spread the word. I think it's important that if you're in the industry, you understand that here's a podcast that's by the industry, for the industry, for the health of the industry. Thank you again for joining, and until the next time, I'm out of here.